This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dude.
I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour 2 of Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan. A Schulte, Rashad Taylor edition. Schulte and Shot in. Joe Fisher out on special assignment doing some fun stuff while we're trapped in the studio. God, he's such a jerk for not being here.
Screw that guy, man.
I'm just kidding. No, I hope he's having fun out there. It's actually, yeah, we were talking about how beautiful of a weekend it was down for the people in Eugene watching the Ducks game, but actually pretty rainy up here. So maybe he did the right thing by getting out of Dodge.
It's always best to get out of Portland when it starts to rain. At least if you're going to be in the rain somewhere sexy. This isn't. There's nothing sexy about this. You know what I mean.
Where's a sexy rain destination to you?
Ooh.
It's a good question, actually.
It's like a cabin somewhere.
Oh, so you're talking like kind of poked away in the forest. Not really around anything.
A nice hotel view.
Very secluded location.
Exactly.
I like that. I mean, that could be a nice little getaway, or it could be a scary murder cabin. A lot of serial killers hiding out here in the Pacific Northwest.
One thing I like to do, and I do it by myself sometimes. Well, not that. But I'm a big fan of, getting, just a hotel room.
Yeah.
Just me.
Oh, really?
Man.
Just to kind of take a minute?
Man, and mind you, I hate sleeping in hotel beds. It's always so uncomfortable. I don't know why, for whatever reason, but... It's one of those things I love to do. They get a nice room somewhere with a nice view, maybe a breakfast or, a nice place to have dinner and just kind of chill. Now, it's always fun with, my wife and stuff like that. But, usually, if she has to do something, maybe she'll stay the night, at her mom's house or at her dad's, who lives pretty far away. It's a good opportunity for me to say, shoot, man, let me go ahead and book me a room at one of these nice places. And you know how cheap it is to do stuff with just one person.
Yeah, when you're by yourself, it is a little bit more cost effective.
Man, absolutely, whatever you want, for just that one person. So
that's why the term dink exists, right? Double income, no kids. Kids taking away all that cash,
all that stuff, man. So yeah, man. But hopefully, man, I think the goal is to I've been thinking about traveling for Christmas.
Ooh, okay.
Which I know that is just mad expensive.
Well, it's a hairy endeavor too, because you usually, you're talking about going to stay with family, because I've seen the really just sad pictures of all the makeshift beds and areas where people are sleeping in for a week in their old, their parents' old,
I want to do that.
Yeah, basement or whatever. God.
I want to do a Kevin McAllister Home Alone 2 type of Christmas, at a nice hotel or something like that. I think that would be super, super dope.
You're speaking of good hotel beds. And one, if you ever do go up to Seattle, you want to catch a Mariners game or a Seahawks game, that hotel right next to T-Mobile Park, they got the most comfy beds.
Okay.
Literally, I could fall asleep just
Is it a Motel 6?
No, it's a really nice hotel. And they're not paying us.
What's wrong with Motel 6?
nothing, but they don't have as nice of a bed as a four-star hotel. I think that's just a pretty safe assumption. But talking baseball, actually, to transition a little bit away from hotel beds into watching the World Series, Rashad.
It's
of course,
sick beds for Yankee fans.
Yeah, my Mariners not anywhere close to it, but what a couple of entertaining games in the first two of the World Series. We'll start really quickly with Friday night. I don't know if you were watching, Rashad, but unbelievable walk-off grand slam from Freddie Freeman. Dude went 2 of 5, including that walk-off. And I don't know if this is true. I saw this tweet. I haven't been able to check it, but just really cool information if it is, that walk-off grand slam occurred on the same day, 36 years later, of the Kirk Gibson walk-off home run when he was injured, limping around the bases for the Dodgers in the World Series. But it also happened, apparently, according to X, at the exact same time, 8:37 Pacific time, 36 years apart. And yeah, theoretically, I guess if that game, you know, back in the 80s started at 5:08, 5 o'clock or whatever, makes sense that the timing would be similar since this was like a 10-inning game. So
the baseball gods, you know, shining through.
I mean, just
point.
What a scene that was.
No, it really was. It really was cool. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think about in sports, like hole in one, like, you know, like a hat trick. I'm just trying to think about something like a cool moment in the playoffs, in the finals that we've seen, you know, Jordan's, you know, last shot to win the game, a walk-off grand slam in the first game. Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like in game one of the, that's nuts, man. Like, and so I remember watching that, like, wow, like this is crazy. Like for a minute, I was like, okay, the Yankees are probably going to win this game. They took the lead and it's like, okay, this is it. You know, they're going to win this game.
Oh yeah. Stanton with the big 2-run blast to take the lead. It was just like,
that
whoa,
was
that was majestic.
That
oh
was,
my God. They're
that
running.
Was crazy. And so, and then, you know, turn around the next night and this series so far has been awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been all Dodgers, and it's been like crazy, you know, crazy things to the Dodgers, like between, you know, Hernandez and Freeman back to back, you know, home runs. Like, what are you going to do right now? The baseball gods are literally, Jackie Robinson is like, all right, I got y'all.
Couple more home runs. We're going to start calling Freddie Freeman Mr. October.
I mean, right? you have to. Like, I mean, and mind you, home runs in huge, huge moments. And obviously now there's some concern just about around Shohei and his shoulder. Like, what's that going to look like? I know he's getting it looked at now, or
yeah, it's
getting looked at already.
It's like a partially dislocated shoulder. It was like a subluxation, I think is the word that they're using. And apparently, I looked up what this means. It's essentially not when like the bones themselves get dislocated, but the joint that holds the bones together gets dislocated. So it's basically a small partial shoulder dislocation. I'm thinking they're going to pop that S right back in, and Otani's going to be back in the lineup on Monday,
man,
as a DH.
Otani is
it's the World Series. It ain't game 80.
No, there's no way that he's going to, you know, miss the rest of this game. But, you know, as I'm watching, and I have a bunch of friends who are Yankee fans and stuff like that, and the one thing all of them say is, you know, you see what not having, like, closers is doing for you. Right. It's just you're at this point in the season, I feel like they're just not as confident because they know it's like pitching down the stretch is going to be
their bullpen
is going to be a problem
built on popsicle sticks.
Yeah, it's like it's going to be a problem. So if you're the Yankees, you got to score runs. You got to belt them out the park. You got to figure out a way to score runs, because at this point, like, I don't know if your pitching is going to be good enough. Like they're hitting home runs, like knocking out home runs. You know what I mean? Grant, hey, something's got to change. And next game is tomorrow in the Bronx.
Yes.
The Yankees got to figure it out, because they lose one more, and we can pretty much go ahead and say that this series is over.
It was pretty sad to see kind of like a mirror image when Nestor Cortez came in to basically just give up that grand slam to Freddie Freeman, a mirror image of what the Mariners did in the 2021 playoffs with Scott Servais going to Robbie Ray to face Yordan Alvarez, and then Yordan hit that walk-off basically to give the Astros a 2-0 series lead. It was almost the exact same situation where Ray hadn't pitched in a long time. They decided to throw him in there in a very high-leverage situation. And the Yankees did that with Nestor Cortez. And I think that was probably the biggest mistake you could make if you're Aaron Boone. You're right. Their bullpen has been terrible. It's literally been built on tape and popsicle sticks. And you all of a sudden thought, oh, Luke Weaver, he's going to be my guy. And then he gives it up in the ALCS once. Like, no guy has been just shut down. There's no Emmanuel Clase. There's no Edwin Diaz for the Yankees staff. And the Dodgers bullpen with Bonda, Gritterall, Kopech, Trinan, right? And then Yamamoto with the great Game 2 gem. We haven't really even gotten to Game 2 yet. Was just trying to go over Game 1. Like, how amazing is that to get into Game 2? Yeah, Yamamoto, 6 1/3, 4 strikeouts on 86 pitches. And the rest of the bullpen, yeah, obviously there was that run given up by Blake Trinan, but the rest of the bullpen pretty much able to keep it down for the Dodgers. And there's really there's no bigger difference on their teams than the bullpen, that's for sure. The bullpen for the Dodgers is near elite, and the bullpen for the Yankees is a group of popsicle sticks being held together by tape.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's, I don't know, things are looking bleak for the Yankees, but we've seen in baseball, we've seen teams come back and make it a series. You know, I think maybe a move to the back to the Yankee Stadium would help them at this point, maybe having the crowd behind them, because right now they've been playing just well enough to lose close games. But unfortunately, that's not good enough. The Dodgers all season have been the better team. They've had better pitching. You know, they've been able to hit the ball. Like, I don't know. I mean, Mariano Rivera, you know, might have to come out of retirement just one night, you know, just to be able to give the Yankees some type
of Sterling. Yeah, you know, give them something.
Some type of energy, because right now, like I said, things are looking bleak for them, down 2-0 on their way back home.
Yeah, the Dodgers traveling to New York. They're going to be there for 3 games. That's how the World Series is structured, if you aren't aware. It's 2 games, and then 3, and then 2 back in L.A. So it's going to be a telling time here for the Yankees. I know Aaron Boone, think that reaction of his with the walk-off homer or the walk-off grand slam on Friday night was pretty funny. Just that but I know that Aaron Boone thinking some home cooking is going to help him. You still got Juan Soto. You still got Aaron Judge, although Aaron Judge has been striking out like half of his at-bats during the postseason. Yeah. So it hasn't been great. It's pretty much been like home run or bust for Aaron Judge. Thankfully, Giancarlo stepping up.
Just get on base.
Yeah, and Jazz Chisholm moving things along. He's stolen a couple of bases in the playoffs. You love to see that. But other than that, the bottom of their lineup, you talk about the bullpen being a big separation between the Yankees and the Dodgers. Another big separation is 5 through 9 in their lineups, right? The Yankees have nobody that's hitting right now. Rizzo, Volpe, Wells, and Verdugo, they're just kind of like, oh, let's throw them out there and hope something sticks. I'd be happy to get a hit out of these guys. But Kike Hernandez, who just never seems to stop producing in the playoffs. You got Max Muncy, who hit the game one World Series game winning homer, I think, in 2020 when the Dodgers were playing in that series. So Max Muncy's been there. He's done big things. And then Will Smith, a really good catcher in baseball. Like, and then Tommy Edman, obviously, at the bottom of the lineup, hitting his ass off. Like, the 5 through 9 for the Dodgers and the bullpen are just vastly better than the New York Yankees.
Yeah, and I think the Yankees know that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's in their heads at this point. So Aaron Judge has to do something. He's got to wake up, because they're not going to win if he's not able to at least put some runs on the board. Like, it's not going to happen.
So do you think this goes 7? I originally said I think the Dodgers win in 7. I thought it was going to be a 1-1 series at this point, though. So I'm not quite sure if it's going to go 7 anymore. Who do you see winning this?
Oh, no. It depends on how this game, like, if the Yankees can get this game, I think they can have enough confidence to maybe make it 2 in a row, you know, potentially make it a five game series back in New York.
Clark Schmidt taking the ball for New York, Walker Buehler taking the ball for the Dodgers, by the way. So no bullpen game for LA,
no,
which is
not
good.
Not really.
No, I don't like so. I don't like the opener thing. I you need a starter in the playoffs.
You know? No, you definitely do. So I don't know. I think, unfortunately for the Yankees, I think the Dodgers are playing some inspired baseball. Just look at the last 2 nights and how they played. Like, this is the type of stuff they write Disney movies about, right? And so, I think the Dodgers probably take it in five if the Yankees can't, you know, figure it out tomorrow night.
Yeah, 6-3 win in game one, a 4-2 win over the Yankees in game two. Everybody hitting home runs, and yeah, Freddie Freeman might end up becoming the new Mr. October. Maybe give him a candy bar, because
I like it.
he is hitting whammies.
I like it,
at the most important time. So yeah, game three, Monday night, 5:08 first pitch on Fox. We'll see how that does competing with Monday Night Football. It's actually a really good matchup this week in the NFL for Monday Night Football, like one I'm really excited about with the Steelers hosting the Giants. The Giants are terrible, but I'm in on Mike Tomlin. I'm in on Pittsburgh. They look great with Russell Wilson under center, under the helm, so excited for that. We'll see what the numbers are. I think I heard Durton Sprague saying that they still expect Monday Night Football probably to get like 15-20 million sure. eyes, but you wonder, you know, if any of those are going to be watching.
I don't care
Series.
Who's playing on Monday nights. It's going to be the highest rated show on TV.
Yeah. Monday Night Football has owned, I mean, what, for now 30 years has owned that night?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, and then the NFL itself has basically owned not one now, but 2 days of the week for at least two decades.
Yeah, so it's a wrap for whoever else is on Monday night. Don't premiere on Monday night.
Yeah, maybe they schedule that a little bit better next year. But MLB forced to compete with Monday Night Football. But yeah, game three in New York, 5:08 first pitch, Clark Schmidt. And who did I just say? Walker Buehler taking the bump.
Buehler.
So that Kemp Buehler. It's going to be exciting. I hope I see Freddie Freeman hitting another walk-off bomb. If anything, I think throwing like a $5 bet on a Freddie Freeman anytime home run, not the worst thing to do in the world.
Not at all.
I'll take that lottery. He could stay hot. All right, speaking of another topic that is staying hot is baseball coming to Portland. Rashad, apparently the Portland City Council is getting on board with baseball to Portland. We're going to get to that next here on Sports Sunday with Shad and Schulte.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kennedy the Fan. All right, some more good news coming for baseball to Portland, at least possibly. Rashad, let's get right to this. It's from coin.com. The headline is Portland City Council considers backing Zydel Yards MLB Stadium. Now, this is huge. We've basically heard to this point that the plan for MLB to Portland, basically headed up by the Portland Diamond Project to this point, has really been accomplishing one thing, and that is finding a place to build a stadium. We've talked about several different locations, terminal up in North Portland on the water. We've talked here around our building here off of Northwest Thurman under the Fremont Bridge. We've talked about Zydel Yards, which seems to be the actual option that we're going to get into in just a second. We've talked about the Red Tail Golf course over off at 217 and the land around there. But Rashad, with Portland City Council starting to get on this, looks like we actually will have some finality here as far as a plan for MLB to Portland. And that's huge here. So let's get into it. Friday, Mayor Ted Wheeler announcing that the city council is going to vote on a resolution on Halloween that would require the city to partner with the Portland Diamond Project and essentially, you know, saying yada, 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 professional sports essential for driving economic growth and attracting investment to Portland. Proud to announce the progress of bringing an MLB team to Portland and a stadium to Portland. So essentially, this would pair up Portland City Council with the Portland Diamond Project, and the Portland Diamond Project already in bed with the Zydel family, who owns Zydel Yards, the south waterfront property here in Portland on the Willamette River, which we are now considering to build a stadium. Now, Rashad, I feel like this is huge. In two ways. One, having, you know, the city back you in this endeavor really establishes with Major League Baseball that you are a serious city here, that you are investing your own money, that you don't want to be, you know, like you were when the Montreal Expos moved to Washington and became the Nationals. You don't want to be the redheaded stepchild or the team that's basically used to get another offer from another team better for you. Like, there's a lot going into place. So I think, one, the city working with the Portland Diamond Project and essentially partnering with them, it really kind of, I think, bullies both of those up. It strengthens both entities as far as getting a Major League Baseball team to Portland. But two, It allows money to come in. It allows money from the city's coffers or money from the state to flow. And I'm not saying that, like, there needs to be a ton of taxpayer money put to this. But, for instance, the Senate bill back in 2001, 2002, 2003-ish, when we were trying to get the Montreal Expos as an MLB team to Portland, Oregon Senate approved, I believe it was a $150 million deal, Rashad. So basically, already, and I think this is still there in Oregon's law books, is that $150 million of taxpayer money is already dedicated to building an MLB stadium if we get it here in Portland. Now, that number was created long time ago when stadiums cost like $700 to $900 million as opposed to like $1.5 billion now. I mean, we've seen Yankee Stadium, even in 2006, had a $3.6 billion cost of construction. But then you go up to 2017 with Globe Life Field, the Texas Rangers' new ballpark. That was $1.6 million. So it's not going to be like a few hundred million to build a ballpark here in Portland. But Rashad, along with that Senate money, Portland City Council partnering up, they're still voting on it, but if they decide to do it with the Portland Diamond Project, I think that's roses for both groups, and I think that establishes a much bigger chance for Portland to get an MLB team. Will it happen? I don't know, but this is a good thing.
You know, at this point, bro, I'm a cynic. Portland Diamond Project formed in, what, 2017?
Yeah, so maybe a little bit before, yeah.
It's been almost 10 years. And we've been going back and forth and back and forth. Are we going to get the A's? Are we going to get this team? Or, you know, this team is going to, and nothing's happened yet. They've continued to kind of move the stadium around. It's going to be at the PPS building. No, it's going to be here on the waterfront. No, it should be here on 217. Like, I don't know. I think it's a lot of talk to keep us interested, especially, and honestly, let's just be real. We're so desperate for another team to where we're going to let them drag us along for as long as it takes. So this could take another couple of years, and then they actually have to build the stadium.
Yeah.
So building a stadium is going to take a couple, I assume, from scratch, going to take a couple of years. How long did it take to build San Francisco's new stadium?
I mean,
or
usually
the Levi Stadium.
You know, how long did it take that?
Yeah. So a year or so. Saying another 2 or 3 years to finally get everything going, and then another year and a half, two, to actually build the property. I don't know. I'm just one of the people. I don't think it's going to happen.
You like, don't?
I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's been too long. It would be great if it did, but I went from really excited. I even bought a Portland Diamond, you know, the Diamond
the
Project.
PDX hat.
I even
bought
one of those. I was so super excited for this to happen. And truthfully, at this point, I don't think it's, you know, it's kind of like, you ever met a, and I know we're both married now, but you ever met a girl or met somebody and you want to kick it. It seems like she wants to kick it too, but for whatever reason, it just never comes through. This never happens. And this has been going on for months now at that time. And then at one point you're just like, I'm cool. It doesn't even matter to me anymore. We don't really have to kick it. I'm tired of doing all the extra work and all the extra planning and all the extra, you know, reading about how things are going to happen. And then nothing ever, you know, materializes. That's kind of how I'm starting to feel about this whole thing. Like, since 2017, which was a long time ago. Now, let's just be real. Like, if you graduated in 2017, 18, you're what, 25, 26
yeah.
Now? Yeah, like, that's a long time. No, shoot, you're about to be 25. You're like 29, 28, you know, something like that. So my math isn't great, but you're pretty old, you know, at this point. I just don't know if it's gonna happen. I think it's a lot of, you know, great press to continue to have. I think we're so desperate for another sports franchise of any sort that I think we're just gonna keep, you know, investing into the story. But truthfully, for me, I'm like, at this point, I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, maybe it's my love of baseball, but seeing that, you know, obviously Portland Diamond Project still hasn't actually purchased the Zidell Yards land yet. They are doing, but this is the furthest along that we've been. I feel like they are doing their due diligence and have a limited amount of time. It's the next 42 months, essentially, to buy the former shipyard. So there's, obviously, with massive amounts of money, there's time, unfortunately, that it's going to take to get things done.
Because it's more than just building a stadium.
Exactly.
It's building the culture around it.
Well, the infrastructure.
It's building infrastructure. So it's having the bars. It's having the parking. It's having access to the freeway. You know, it's having restaurants that are near. Like, go to Yankee Stadium. Go to Fenway. You know, go to wherever, Dodger Stadium, whatever the case is. Like, around that area, there's things to where you might not be able to go to the game, but you can still participate as a fan of the game and watch, like, Jax at the Blazer game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, who wants to really? That's the only thing. Spirit of 77 that closes at like 9 o'clock. Like, come on, man. There's nothing around there, and so that's kind of why
like real servers.
And that's why Moda Center kind of sucks. You know what I'm saying? Among the bigger kind of arenas, you know, around the country as far as basketball is concerned.
I think it's one of the five oldest arenas in the NBA now.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. It's more than just building the stadium. Like, you have to build, like you said, the infrastructure around it to make it work.
There's a lot of space down there.
I think that's way easier said than done, but it's a lot of space, but yeah, I don't know.
33 acres, that's a ton. There's a lot of unused space down there.
That's a lot of room.
And there's, I mean, that piece of land is ripe for some sort of development. There's been plans attempted for years down there to, like, turn it into, you know, like, basically another city neighborhood, add a grocery store, add, you know, 15 more restaurants. But, like, it never happened.
Yeah, just move it to, you know, the Expo Center. I might use the Expo Center for anything. Move the Expo Center to something else.
Nah, see, I disagree with you. I love this location. I feel like having that stadium next to the Tillicum Bridge on the Willamette River, so iconic. And then the city skyline of
Kelly
Portland,
Point
Oregon.
Park. You know, they want a river and stuff like that. Move it to Kelly Point Park.
No, man, you got to have the Willamette River literally holding the edges of that stadium, and then just a couple miles up the road, you see the Moda Center in the distance as well. Like, that skyline will look pretty, and I think that it is the best location. Infrastructure-wise, I don't know, but I do know they could add some roads. They could probably close a couple of those businesses because, trust me, I've been down there recently. It's not like a lot of them are getting a lot of, like, daily customers. There's abandoned buildings that have caught on fire there that they've never done anything with. Like, there's space down there. So I'm pretty excited to see where this goes, Rashad. Unfortunately, it sounds like you don't think MLB is going to get a team to Portland, but no. I'm kind of getting biased and thinking that might happen.
I want them to. How dope would that be to have, you know, season tickets to the best show of the summer? Like, how much fun would that be on Thursdays and all
that? Put my Mariners fandom, like, in question, wouldn't it?
Seriously, like, I mean, if you got a team here, all of a sudden I'm not a Mariners fan no more. Like, I would be a Portland whatever fan.
I'll have to figure that out. Because I don't know what I would do.
You can root for both. Mariners could still be your team.
They're literally division rivals at that point, though.
Mariners
that's hard.
Still be your team. You can root for both.
Just, you piss know? On Portland. Like, no,
like, seriously,
I
if Portland
you.
Today gets a football team, like, am I still a Patriots fan? Yeah, but am I not pulling for the Portland?
Yeah, but they're not
rain
in the same division.
Or whatever it is?
No, that'd be different.
No, I mean, I'm not in the same division, but still, it's like, it wouldn't be hard for me to choose hometown.
That's
all I'm saying.
See, for me, it would. I love Portland. I'm an Oregonian, like, through and through. I've only lived out of this state for, like, 10 months of my life. But Mariners baseball, get all of it. That's my motto. All right, Rashad. So, yeah, hopefully MLB to Portland will happen in the next, like, 6 years? Less? Probably close to 4 to 6 years, but
my son will be 19 in 6 years when baseball will finally happen in Portland.
But we're seeing some positives coming out of that. So, all right, we will wrap that topic up and move on to some Blazers basketball. Yikes. 0-2 to start the regular season. I guess the suck for flag or the capture the flag movement is on.
I don't think they're trying to do that, though.
No, they're not. I do think Chauncey believes that this team can compete. We'll get into that. They actually almost won against the Pelicans on Friday, and of course they do
They'll
play
have
the
a
Pelicans.
Do-over.
Yeah, one more time today, and everybody can watch it. It's on K2 today. I don't know if you knew that. It's not on Charge or whatever that extra channel is.
I'm
but
so pissed off about that.
It is on K2. So everybody, whether you stream, whether you have the antenna, you can watch today's Blazers game at 3 o'clock. But we'll get into the first two games of the Blazers regular season coming up next year on a Schulte Shot edition of Sports Sunday. But first, Sports Center. Well, Rashad, we could have on Friday had one of the top game winners in NBA history, or at least of the season. Do you know why?
It wasn't nothing the Blazers did.
Well, they were part of it. The Portland Trail Blazers game against the Nolens Pelicans Friday night. 105-103 win. Portland had led basically up until I think near the end of the third quarter and then just kind of gave it up. Didn't really have a great third. They had a great third. They didn't have a great fourth is what I meant. And outside of two guys, Scoot, actually, congrats to him, shooting above 50%. That's huge for Blazers fans. That's a positive. Jeremy Grant looking good, but still not able to get the win. So, sorry, that doesn't really matter to me as much. I'll mention that Scoot shot over 50%. That's a positive, but not really going to matter to me. But the game winner that Brandon Ingram shot over Anfernee Simons. Allegedly, those two share the same baby mama.
No, it's just not alleged. It's a thing.
So, it could be, according to Twitter, because there were so many people asking, like, pick of the baby mama, it never happened. Another comment said, I need this confirmed, because if so, this is a top three winner in game history. Like, I don't know if it's like top three in history, but yeah, top three of the season for sure. That is just, Brandon Ingram obviously with some extra juice there, right? Like, you know those guys are thinking about that when they face off against each other. And what a dummy Ant is. Come on. Like, dude, another woman and you're just like, whatever, I'm cool.
Listen.
Allegedly.
Listen, all you young athletes out there that are unprotected relations with these 304s out here in the world, just doing whatever with everybody. Like, here's a girl that New Orleans is not close to Portland.
No.
And here's a dude that plays in the Pacific Northwest. For in some way, they know the same chick. How that works of all, as women outnumber men by so much.
Yeah.
But yet and still, these two NBA All-Star and borderline NBA All-Star met the same 304. If you don't know what 304 is, look it up. They met the same one and both had a baby by her. That's the craziest thing in the world. Like, these jersey chasers are really out there to try to get rich, and these dudes are helping them. What's my man's name? Jalen Green. His baby mom, Jalen Green's what, 22 now? 23?
Yeah, I think so, 23.
His baby mom's like 34, 35.
Oh, my God. Oh my God!
And she's had babies with
other NBA
famous,
players or
you know, famous
or, yeah.
people. I'm just like,
y'all. Really,
I don't see
keep,
how this works.
How do you keep falling for that?
Like, for entertainers, like, it makes sense to me. Like, you run in the same circles and stuff like that. Like, you go to the same parties.
Well, these guys are too.
It makes sense that you guys, but these guys are. How is she?
Because she's, at the
parties,
all connected.
You're at the parties in Portland, in LA, and you're also at the parties.
Guys travel.
They do. That's what I'm saying. Like, that, but they happen to meet the same one, and there was no point that either one of these dudes was like, "Nah, I shouldn't mess with her. She got a baby with the old dude."
Wrap this up really quickly and talk actual Blazers for a couple of minutes, but a couple more really funny comments from X about this situation. Who cares about LeBron and his kid together? I think the story of two Eskimo brothers facing off is way more interesting. Another one said daddy over daddy. And then this kind of off-court connection between players adds an unexpected layer to the rivalry on the court. Makes for a compelling narrative for the league. I mean, I don't necessarily think that's true. It's really funny, but it's just like, I guess it just highlights, you know, the alleged stupidity of young kids, we're watching young millionaires being young millionaires.
Come on, fellas,
right,
be better.
The Portland Trail Blazers, I'm not sure, have the ability to be better, Rashad. They were in the game, like I said, against New Orleans on Friday night, but yeah, they just didn't shoot well enough in the fourth quarter, and if it weren't for Ant, like, hitting 10 free throws, then he wouldn't have had 24 points, but dude was 6 for 20. Like, it's just not good, and when your team is shooting 43%, and basically that number alone is because of Jeremy Grant and Scoot Henderson. If you threw those numbers out, and it was just Ant and everybody else, and DeAndre Ayton, it would be down in like the 30 something percentage.
Yeah, DeAndre Ayton didn't play well the other night. I don't expect that to last.
No, he'll get back to it.
Yeah, so they actually play today at 3:00. I'll be there
on K2.
So
you're going to watch it in person. Cool,
I'm
cool.
going to the game. You know, my uncle was able to come up on some tickets for me. I said, "Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it." So,
are you concerned about Denny Avdija not really doing much against the Pelicans, and then not really hitting too many? Well, he didn't hit any threes, but he didn't really hit too many shots.
He plays in Portland now.
Yeah,
I'm concerned about it. Like, I mean, I don't know. I think Denny's going to be fine. I think it takes a long time. Mind you, he's the odd man out because he's the one person that's entered the lineup that wasn't here last year. And so I think these guys kind of learn how to play with each other at the end of the end of the season. And I think at this point, he just got to find his groove, which, you know, can be a little tougher to do with a team that doesn't really have an identity right now, you know, so.
No, they do not. Yeah, no, if Joe Cronin's going one way saying they're still developing, and I don't know if they're still thinking this, but this was at the end of last season when Joe said that. And then in literally the next breath, Chauncey said, "Hey, we're competing for the playoffs next year with this roster." You know, it honestly kind of sucks, Rashad, because, yeah, they lost by 36 points to open the season. So anybody that there are positives that you can take from that game,
Stop buying the Blazers Kool-Aid. Here's the positive that you take from that game. There's a lot to go wrong in a blowout like that. Like last night, the game they had on Friday night, you a little more defensive effort, a little something, you know, some made free throws. DeAndre Ayton doesn't go... what did he go? 5 for 14. If he goes 7 for 14, you win that game, right? There's some things to take away from a close loss, you know, but a blowout, nothing went right. Like, okay, we can chalk that one up as a loss. Like, there's nothing we can. Sometimes there's nothing you can do. They made all the shots, we couldn't make ours. But here's an instance.
They weren't making their shots at first. It was the second half. The second half really killed it.
And that's what the Warriors do too, right? Third quarter, that's when they turn it on. That's just that's their MO. They've always done. And mind you, they didn't play Steph the other night, and they still lost by 2 points. But
Pelicans are pretty bad, and Zion did not play well. Like that,
they're pretty bad, but they're still the Pelicans. You know, they've got good guard play. Obviously, they've got a good play on the wing. Zion, you know, when he is on, he's on. Like the Pelicans are still a tough out, you know, for a lot of people. So I think, and they're 2-0, you know, at this point. So they've beaten a couple teams too, you know, including the Blazers. But again, a tough loss like that by 2 points, I can look at the tape and say this went wrong here, this went wrong here. But if we fix this, we can win these games. When you get blown out like that, there's nothing you can do. I just got blown out.
Oh, it sucks to be a Blazers fan. Looking at this roster, I see like 6 or 7 guys that would pair really well with Damian Lillard if he were still here. It's just, it's torture to me to watch this team. Stop. I can't forget it. I'm never going to forget moving on from the franchise that I know you don't think so. I think
us.
No, he didn't. He did not. He moved on from the Blazers after they said, "Hey, we're going to draft somebody to help you," and then drafted his replacement. What do you do?
He didn't try to get anybody to come and play here with him.
What are you talking about? Yes, he did.
Who?
Nobody's going to come here. Nobody. Since the Jamal Crawford's free agent signing and how badly that went when LaMarcus Aldridge recruited Jamal, which was, what, 12, 13 years ago, and Jamal hated his time in Portland and was off. Like, he left as quick as he could.
At the same time, you're talking about a dude that made everybody else in the league feel like if you do run from your... His agent. That was Dame.
Dame talking.
Said that. Did he not say that?
But his agent changed the narrative after. It was not Dame coming out saying
that. Because that's what agents do. But yes, we've heard him multiple times say, "I'm not leaving nowhere. That's not important to me. All those little things, man. I don't care if I ever win a championship," which is a lie in the first place. You know, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah, we're going into stuff that's been talked about over and over again. But Blazers, 0-2, they are facing off against the Pelicans, hosting them for the second game in a row in a back-to-back, or I guess a home-home, technically not back-to-back days, but 3:00 tip, and that is on K2 today. All right. We'll wrap it up here on Sports Sunday. Coming up next, 1080 The Fan. All right, just a couple of minutes left here in our final segment of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan, a Schultzy Shot edition. Wanted to wrap it up with something fun, Rashad. Of course, Halloween this Thursday. I'm throwing a nice little celebration at my house on Friday. I figured that'd be the best day to do it, you know, kind of extend the Halloween for people.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, gonna be dressing up as Jack Skellington. My wife's going to be going as Sally, and I was wondering what the top Halloween costumes of 2024 are, and a couple of these pretty funny. A couple of these don't know who the hell they are. So we'll go through them and see if you know who they are. And text in Vancouver Ford text line or on the YouTube if you want to let us know if you're dressing up, if you hate Halloween, or what like the favorite costume that you've ever worn in your life was. I don't know. I'd probably have to go like with the Power Rangers for that one. Like, it was pretty cool as a kid. I think the white Power Ranger was probably my favorite costume. So
I went as Deion Sanders one year. I had a bunch of, you know, my football equipment and everything. And so bought a Deion Sanders jersey, blue pants, and Dallas Cowboys. I didn't wear the helmet, but I wore, you know, shoulder pads and a jersey and everything. It was pretty cool.
Oh, hell yeah. No, that's awesome. So let's see. Top 10 searched on Google Halloween costumes for 2024. Shrunken Head Bob from Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Okay.
Because, I mean,
I've seen a lot of that.
Yeah, that just came out. That makes sense. Number two, Ray Gun, the viral Olympics breakdancer from Australia. If you don't know who we're talking about, it's that terrible female breakdancer from Australia that got ousted in the first round and basically made a joke out of on social media because it looked like this woman had never breakdanced in her life before.
Apparently, she was like the number one breakdancer in Australia.
Like, female breakdancer in Australia. Like, that is a low bar then.
That's,
because
yeah, that's crazy.
I'm not the most athletic guy. I'm pretty chubby. I don't move very smoothly, but Some of those maneuvers could have been done by my chubby ass.
Yeah, Raymond Felton was chubby. He had an NBA career. So was Escalade from And-One.
Like, they also have way better genetics than I do. So they can be chubby, but they still can shoot a basketball better than like 99% of the world. Let's see. Dolores from Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Was she green?
No. Yeah, I think so. And then let's see, I believe Pomni, which is also a Beetlejuice character. No, I don't think that is. I don't know what Pomni is. We've got Dr. Doom, comic book character. That's pretty good. Wolverine, Deadpool and Wolverine, but specifically Wolverine because of the movie earlier this year.
Okay.
It's pretty sweet. Although, I don't know, you got to go full on. And when you're wearing a mask for like 2-3 hours, it does get a little sweaty at the end of the night. It's like my Jack Skellington head is going to be off for some of the party. I can't walk around in that thing the whole time and just raise my mask up for a drink and then put it back on.
No,
if I went as Wolverine, you'd see like the Wolverine outfit and then I'd walk in with like the mask on and then I'd take it off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any time to sweat my ass off. Let's see. Other than that, Despicable Me, Minions.
Minions are always a...
And did you see the Oregon Duck puddles wearing Minion goggles running in for the game yesterday against the Fighting Illini?
I did not see that part.
And then any character from Sesame Street, still pretty popular for the kids. But obviously Beetlejuice topping the list, not surprising.
I'm glad there are no serial killer costumes this year. I thought it was really creepy with all the... what was it? Not Ted Bundy, but what's the leader?
Oh God, why can't I remember his name? My sick brain just isn't helping me right now.
Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Thank you.
When the Dahmer stuff came out.
Oh yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer.
A lot of Jeffrey Dahmer.
And I'm not
I don't see as many clowns lately, but I assume I'm going to see a lot of Terrifier.
I hate clowns, and I do feel like John Wayne Gacy is kind of a reason, like that other serial killer that dressed up as a clown all the time is one reason why most people don't like to dress as clowns.
Yeah,
I really can't stand looking
at
them.
Most people don't really like clowns. You ever seen the movie Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Nope. No, thank you. I'm good.
It's not. It's more funny than it is scary.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not very scary at all.
Sorry, I thought it was like a House of a Thousand Corpses or something.
No,
just
nothing.
Like, no,
nothing like
you.
That.
That scarred me for life. I watched that in college.
Thousand, yeah.
Yeah. Rob Zombie
Dr.
film
Satan?
House of a Thousand Corpses. Yeah, yeah. Dr. Satan. Rainn Wilson is in it. One of his early roles before he became Dwight Schrute. I had nightmares for a week, bro. Seriously. I cannot watch that S. Just can't do it. And that's coming from somebody that falls asleep listening to like Forensic Files episodes.
Yeah.
Listening to deep seated like gross crimes, but I can't do House of a Thousand Corpses.
No, yeah, I'm not a big horror movie guy in the first place, so.
Yeah, I watched The Shining with my wife this season. So.
My wife has never seen it. She actually just told me that yesterday, so we'll probably be watching it at some point.
That is why my wife and I watched it, because Kendall's like, never seen it. I'm like, well, okay, you gotta see it, babe, just once. You don't have to like it, but just to know what people are talking about.
Yeah.
All right, Rashad, appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for all your hard work today.
You already know, bro. Appreciate you, Mudgy.
Hope Joe has had a good Sunday off. Hope you all enjoy the rest of your football Sunday. This is a Schulte Shot edition of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. Have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.